Today's reading is taken from John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, and it's on page 1081. 1081. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you not understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much for that reading. As you will have guessed from that reading, we are focusing today on the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And as an art teacher, my go-to in terms of understanding is to be able to see visuals. So throughout the talk today, there's going to be a number of visuals that appear on the screen. So I'm going to give Keith a nod every now and then as I work my way through what I think God has got for us. But before we start, let's just pray and commit this time now to the Lord. Father God, thank you for this time together. Thank you that you have given me a message which I believe you are asking me to pass on today. It's not just for everybody that's here, it's for myself. Thank you for the things that you have spoken to me about in the preparation for this. And God, I just really pray for this time now that the words from you stick and that they enable us to live lives that are more full and more full of you, and that from the important message that you have here for us today, that will change how we live our lives. Anything that's not of you, just allow to disappear away and to not stick in our thoughts, God. It was customary before eating in Jesus' time for the host of a party or a gathering to wash the feet of the guests. As we heard in the reading in verse 2, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Let's just pause for a moment. He isn't here washing the feet of somebody who's just had a pedicure or has had a morning shower, literally, before they were on their way to the party. Let's consider the state of the feet that Jesus was washing. They had encountered dusty roads. They'd been walking behind animals. They had no baths, certainly no soap. Just a slight warning on this picture, but Keith, if you could put the next picture up, if you are not a fan of feet, this may not be for you. Safe to say, these feet are going to be warm from walking barefoot through sand and dirt. They're going to be dusty. The nails are not going to be nicely trimmed. I'm aware that my feet cannot always be particularly pleasant, and I never go more than 24 hours without washing them. I tend also to not walk around barefoot in mud and dirt. These feet are not the sort of feet that you would like to have in your vicinity, and particularly when we think about how the practice at the time where we would recline whilst we were eating our meal, and so these feet could well be here somewhere next to our heads. Not the most pleasant of environments to be in. So on the face of it, Jesus is fulfilling a practical need. It could be argued that he's just trying to make his eating environment a nicer one. However, I think it goes much deeper than this on a number of different levels. Keith, if you could put picture 3 up. Great, thank you. Whilst he's meeting the direct need of the traveller at the time, he's also subverting the natural order. He is taking on the job of a servant. As I said, the host would normally have a whole variety of servants behind the scenes who would run in. They'd be replenishing food, they'd be replenishing wine. Also, they would be washing the feet of the guests as they arrived. Jesus removes his outer clothes to those that only a servant would wear in a public subversive statement, and it's an outward demonstration of him being countercultural. It would have been shocking to Jesus' peers, to the other guests, and to the servants that were there in that space at that time. This is not the normal. Picture 4 shows us that Jesus knows what is to come. Again, we read in the passage, we are aware that at this point, Jesus knows his path. He knows what is set out ahead of him. This act is a foreshadowing of what is to come in his ultimate act of humility and in sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice, as we know, is Jesus laying his life down in service to his Father and to us, and to reconcile us as humans with our Creator Father in heaven. In picture 5, Jesus, in the act of washing feet, invokes the idea that he is preparing a place for us at at the heavenly banquet. He cleans our feet so that we can sit alongside our Father and our peers and alongside Jesus in heaven. As ever, there's a spiritual plot running along what could be read as just a fairly domestic story. Everything in the Bible is purposeful. It's not there just to fill a story. There is much more going on behind the scenes. In verse 6, we read, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you will have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Finally, there is another picture for this. This may be clear or it may not. It's a little bit bright in here today. I was hoping it might be a bit greyer. I was supposed to be talking about this in October when it probably would have been quite a lot cloudier and greyer. We're lucky in that our physical feet can be kept fresh and clean very easily in our day-to-day. But our spiritual feet will be unclean from the metaphorical journey that we find ourselves on. What dirt have we picked up along the way? Jesus offers to clean our feet too, to subvert the cultural norms and challenge the leader as a powerful dictator shouting orders. Instead, he approaches us in his underwear with a bowl of water, a cloth in his hand, and a towel slung over his shoulder. Let's pause again for a moment. In a minute of silence, let's come before God where we are now and ask him to show us what that dirt on our feet is that we may have picked up. In a minute, we're going to watch a clip. There won't be any sound, but imagine that Jesus is washing your feet. He's cleaning away the hurt, the sin, the disappointment, the hate, the pain, all of that bad stuff that we've picked up along the way. He's preparing us to enter the banquet our Father in heaven is preparing for us. As we watch the video, imagine what it is that Jesus is saying to you. When we engage with the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet and realize it's not an historical event, but it's something that he does for us today and every day, if we allow him, it's amazing, it's powerful, it has the potential to be life-changing. Remember how it felt as Jesus was washing your feet, as he was cleaning away the hurt, the sin, the disappointment, the hate, all of that bad stuff that we've picked up along the way. He was preparing you to allow you to enter the banquet in heaven. Hold on to that. It's really powerful. More than dealing with just our past, however, it's life-changing for our future too. It's a beautiful picture of the gospel story. It's a precursor for what is to come. We're dirty from the world that we live in. We feel guilt. We feel shame, which provokes a reaction in us that we don't need God or we don't want him to get involved, that we can do it ourselves. Or worse still, he won't want to be involved because of what we've done and who we are. In fact, that's the complete opposite. When we allow him, we experience something of him and realization hits that it's only he that can resolve it. Not like a judge, he's not out for punishment and retribution, but he's there through subversion and service. He's there going against the grain. He's there getting his hands dirty so that our feet can be cleaned. He cleans away the mess and restores our relationship with God, our Father. That is life-changing. But equally, if we stop there, we're only getting part of the story. We're missing a point. Let's read on. So from verse 12, if you have your Bibles open, it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done to you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is who I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Firstly, yes, we need to know that God loves us and that Jesus serves us and makes us clean. But then we need to act on that. It's not enough to know that. We're called to follow Jesus' example. We're called to bring hope and purity and the promise of restored relationship with God to those around us as well. We learn from the very best. And we can only expect to be called upon to follow his example where we can. We're called to serve, to give ourselves, to reflect our Father in heaven, and to act out stories that point to reflect the gospel stories in a way that interrupts the normality of life around us, that go against the grain, that subvert the supposed natural order, and that allow people to glimpse something of a future filled with hope and love and communion with God. There are lots of different people who have lots of different opinion on service. It's not just a spiritual thing. It's a secular thing as well. People have all sorts of different viewpoints on it. And I've put together a slideshow of different quotes from a whole variety of different people. There's about 30 seconds between each one, and there's just over 10 of them. So just spend a little bit of time reading through them and seeing which ones speak to you, and ponder on those ones that speak to your heart.
We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Winston Churchill.
The purpose of human life is to serve and to show compassion and the will to help others. Albert Schweitzer.
Helping one person might not change the whole world, but it could change the world for one person. Anonymous.
We serve God by serving others. The world defines greatness in terms of power, possessions, prestige, and position. If you demand service from others, you've arrived. In our self-serving culture, with its me-first mentality, acting like a servant is not the popular concept. Rick Warren.
A person's most useful asset is not a head full of knowledge, but a heart full of love, an ear ready to listen, and a hand willing to help others. Anonymous.
As you pray and serve others, your knowledge that you are a child of God and your feelings about him will grow. Henry B. Eyring.
Success means we go to sleep at night knowing that our talents and abilities were used in a way that served others. Anonymous.
Go and love someone exactly as they are, and then watch how quickly they transform into the greatest, truest version of themselves. When one feels seen and appreciated in their own essence, one is instantly empowered. Wes Angelozzi.
Use your God-given gifts to serve others. 1 Peter 4, verse 10.
The greatest gift you can give someone is your time, because when you give your time, you are giving a portion of your life that you will never get back.
The measure of a man's greatness is not the number of servants he has, but the number of people he serves. John Hagee.
I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing that I do know, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. Albert Schweitzer.
Happiness consists in giving and in serving others. Henry Drummond.
Hopefully from those quotes you will see that actually the act of service is twofold. It reminds us of what Jesus has done for us, but it also demonstrates to other people what we know to be true. Later on in the same chapter, the point is repeated. So in verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's that twofold sense. We are serving because we have been served. We are reflecting what we know to be true for ourselves. We are following the sense of call from Jesus. He says it specifically in this chapter, that we are to serve others. If we stop and we absorb it all ourselves, we feel great, we're saved, that's brilliant. However, we are missing the point. It's very clear, it's a call to action. is not a nice, oh, I can relax now. First, yes, we need to know what God has done for us, but then we need to go out and we need to show people how he feels about them too. Are we going to take our part in this call? Safe in the knowledge that God first loved us and first served us and has cleaned our feet, that we are clean and we are ready to join the banquet our Heavenly Father throws. Will we then, knowing this, partner with God to share the gospel story, to bring hope and change and redemption and restoration with God to the lives of those around us? Will we sacrifice our time and our comfort to wash the feet of others? I'm winding down in terms of what I've actually got to say to you guys today, but what I don't want to do is to leave this place without spending time praying for each other around some of the things that we've talked about. I'd like you to, in groups where you are sat, or if you'd like to form new groups, that's fine. I'd like you to just spend a bit of time praying, firstly, for a greater sense of understanding that we have been made clean by Jesus, that he has washed our feet, and that as and when we need to, we can go back to that bowl of water with Jesus kneeling in front of us, clearing away the grime and the dirt of every day. That we can grasp more deeply that Jesus has gone before us and that he has prepared us a seat at the banquet being laid in heaven. That we remember that this is a precursor to the actions of the cross which we are working towards in a few weeks' time. That this is a story that reminds us of the power and the importance of the gospel story. But also let's pray for each other that we can live our lives here on earth that are different, so that others can see that we are changed, that we are clean, that we can seek ways to serve others and to bring out the things that God has given us, not just so that we make our own lives comfortable and easy, but actually we make the lives of those people around us more comfortable and more easy, and that they get a sense that we bring God with us. Ultimately, let's pray for each other that we can play our part in pointing them to Jesus, so that they who can then clean their feet and who longs to beckon them into heaven alongside us as well. So in small groups, let's spend a couple of minutes praying before we then come back together. At the end of the time of prayer, I have got another video that I'd like to show you. This time it's a song with an illustration. It spoke to my heart and it speaks to my heart every time I hear it. It challenges me about how I live my life, how I interact with those around me, how I look out for opportunities to wash the feet of the weary and the dirty and the hopeless travellers that I encounter in my day-to-day life. Allow God to speak to you about your call to serve those around us. Once we've spent some time in prayer and we've watched the video, I'll hand back over to Tim. So just where you are in small groups, spend a bit of time firstly praying for a greater understanding of what God has done for us, and then pray for each other that we can then bring a sense of that into our everyday lives.